On the first week of Christmas, Jeff Hamill asked of me, how about an episode of MI3? That's right, we're back with an episode of MI3 Christmas Time. It's not really a special Christmas episode, it's just an episode that we've had in the can for a while. Jeff, guess what? I'm your secret Santa. And as your secret Santa, I'm giving you your wish. Here are 4 weeks of MI3 just for you. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and Happy Holidays to all of our listeners. Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise 1 minute at a time. We're back from hiatus, and I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Rob. I'm back.
Wasn't he just here?
He was just here. He put us on hiatus.
That's right.
But he's not alone. We got two. No. We have a recurring guest and a new guest.
A recurring guest?
A recurring guest.
Is this, is this a typography podcast?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You ever Helvetica?
The man who taught us about erections in the last movie and living and sitting in bathtubs and how you do that. It's Duff.
Hello.
No other name needed. Duff. one of the tripod of the Titanic Minute podcast. And the other leg. What?
Like Liberace. Glad to be here.
Okay.
Let's talk about his brother George in a minute.
Yeah, and the last of the tripod is Joe. Joe, welcome.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
It's the actual Midnight Boys. This is not Chris. This is a new thing. Yes, they have jackets. The Woodyard has its own kind of sensibilities. This is only this is a smarter group than the Woodyard, I would say. Because there's one more person.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you're just going by pure numbers, yes, I guess.
Yes. That's what I'm going for.
Just have more raw computing power.
Yeah, sure. It's we could work on a problem faster because we're just all here to like work on that number forever. Well, we're back from hiatus. As you can tell, we're super refreshed. Chris is at a 5 now. He's gone up a whole point. So
yeah,
5 out of 10 is not bad for Chris.
No, that's pretty good actually.
He was just before we started recording telling us he almost died last night. But other than that, he is good.
I didn't die. It was just, you know, it was like blood everywhere, but you know, it's all good.
Look, when your plug falls out,
it was like Dune. You know,
we talked about plugs last one.
We're gonna talk about plugs again this one.
Yeah. My nubbin fell out.
There's a little flared bass in our minutes this week. Rob famously put us on a hiatus and made us so tired that we just said, I don't want to record for a while.
He took me from a 4 to like a 0.5.
Oh, it was so bad.
And but, I was actually good with him last time, too, so it was all good.
But last time, those were bad minutes, as
those
Rob
were
said.
Bad minutes, yes.
These are good minutes.
What's the difference?
At action? I don't know. explosions?
J.J. Abrams action?
The pew-pew.
There was some pew-pews, and there's a couple grenades. You know what? Hey, I don't mean to always bring it back to Warzone, but, I mean, this is some pretty good stuff. They clean out a room.
Yeah, we got and with Joe here, we got another expert Warzone player.
I mean,
here.
Joe and Rob are really good. I'm trash.
You are bad.
I'm intimidated to start playing at this point. I feel like I'm just
You can't be worse than me statistically.
I feel way too old to play now at this point. I'm just like, nah. So, just I've gone over that midpoint. I'm headed towards the 50s and I'm like, nah, video games. Let my son play this.
So Rob, you're on the immediate preceding minutes, so you had already passed the wine mom scenes.
The wine mom?
The gathering of wine moms.
Oh, that was earlier. I wasn't on for that.
No, that was domestic Ethan. That was weeks ago. That was weeks ago.
Yeah.
Wine moms. Aren't
wine mom hours during daylight?
Yeah, that is true.
Unless it's a weekend.
To be fair, that party started during the daytime. And then it went into the night.
True.
As all wine mom parties start, they start when the sun is out.
Right after Wheel of Fortune, or after Wheel goes off the air.
I mean, I don't want to get us too off topic, but then again, Rob's here, so there's no way you'll get more angry with me than him. The Tom Cruise is, I'm sure we all have varying opinions on him, but the one thing he simply cannot do is hold a drink convincingly. That man has never held a beer in his life, like in his personal life. And when he pulls that beer out of the fridge in the party scene, I'm like, oh,
you don't get to
help that guy.
You don't get to 2% body fat having fun.
He probably looked at it on set. Like, what is this?
You don't turn 60 some sort of and drink? Look like you don't turn 60 look like that and drink beer ever.
No, if you drink beer, you look like Wilford Brimley at 50.
No, you look like me.
You look like Gus.
Yeah. Like I said, Wilford Brimley.
Well, Joe, this is a good thing. Don't ever worry about going off topic because that is what our show is branded on.
Okay, good.
As same as your show. I listen. I'm a listener. I was your first Patreon. I mean, I love your shows, even the ones no one knows about,
even the bad ones,
even the bad ones. I love the Tombstone Minute. I love the incredibly famous Titanic Minute. I love the less than not even a show, a free podcast, which
you can't find it.
Can't find it. Nobody knows where it is. But yeah, it's what are your everyone else has talked about this before. What are your hot takes on Tom Cruise? This series, like, do you like this series, or is this something you tolerate, or what?
I like it. I like it. I don't love it, but I like it. Really, I was really excited to revisit this movie because I remembered it sort of being my favorite, but I hadn't seen it since it came out, and I watched it again earlier today, and it kind of falls into the same trap all J.J. Abrams movies and projects are. It's just like the key is to you cannot think about it because he's an incredibly dumb filmmaker.
That's the best description I've ever heard of it.
And I'd totally forgotten how little Philip Seymour Hoffman is actually in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why
her best movie he's ever done.
I still had fun watching it, but I was really disappointed on a revisit that it seems like he's only in it for like 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah. You just got Abrams. I also originally was like, in my mind was like, yeah, three's solid because two's crazy. Then you watch two and you're like, no, wait, two's solid and three's boring. Yeah. Oh, huh. I wasn't expecting
that. And I think they both suffer in comparison to the last three.
Oh yeah.
You know, when you start, and of course, getting the four, we're coming five,
back
and
from,
six.
Yeah. And we're coming back from hiatus. So we have to be positive. I still like parts of this movie. This is one part.
Yeah, there's pieces I like about it. You know,
the next 3 to 4 weeks will be stuff I like.
Yeah, the first half of the movie is a lot better than the second half.
J.J. Abrams, I don't disagree with anything Joe just said, but he makes entertaining product most of the time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once you stop and really examine it, you're like, oh, that was. Yeah, that was really dumb, but if you don't...
It's not easy on the revisits, his films.
I mean, I'm one of the few, the proud, the Super 8 stands, even though there's not an original shot.
All eight of you. That's why they call it Super 8.
The Super 8.
Yeah.
We get together once a year on an island in Nantucket. We are the Super 8.
We talk about how miraculous it is to like a movie where there's 0% originality.
Well, it's literally like you watch that movie and you're like, am I watching it? You're waiting on it to become a spoof because you're like, oh, they're just spoofing all the movies that I love, but they never spoof it. And you're like, okay, I guess we're okay.
It's just an homage to any Spielberg movie.
And I like it too. I like that movie. It makes me happy, but you know why? Cause it reminds me of Spielberg movies.
Mm-hmm.
Also you get, a grade A Giacchino score.
Yeah.
Who once again is aping John Williams. So
yeah, JJ Abrams is like the try hard stepdad that's not as good as your dead dad.
Yeah, he found out that your late father took you to Disney World when you were 8.
Yeah.
And he takes you there when you're 17. He's like, well, you liked it the first time.
and you're, and it's not quite the same, but it's like, eh, it's still Disney World.
Yeah. Or, you lived in Florida and you went to Disney World with your dad and he died. And then you moved to California and then he did, at 17 takes you to Disneyland. He's like, it's the same thing. And you're like, it's not, it's different. It's
glad you bring that up, Jonathan. Cause there's another Disney guy. Don't compare Disneyland and Disney World. It's not even close.
They're very different.
And they're both in a good way. I don't want to start an East Coast, West Coast beef, but
you're going to get gunned down if you don't watch out.
Like my wife loved Disneyland when she was a kid because that's all she'd ever been to.
Yeah.
And then she went to Disney World and she was like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, it's just different. There's just a lot more room. And you know, that's the whole point.
Disneyland on steroids, man.
Like Disney World was created because Disneyland, they're like, well, shit.
Don't talk to me unless there's a giant ball envisioning like an Aryan society of the future.
I love Epcot. That's my favorite. That's my favorite place.
It's mine too, Jonathan.
It's super fun, but the origins of it are really weird. It's like,
oh yeah,
that's mine happy place.
It's like Walt Disney's fever dream about like planned evolution. Mm-hmm. Which gets kind of racist really quickly.
At some point, there will be the right genome. There's probably genome sequencers that are checking everyone as they come in, those little scanners. At some point, there will be the right viable amount, and the Epcot will close. It will just seal off and just be like, well, this is it. We can now create the super race that we were looking
for. Is that where the NBA is playing inside Epcot?
Not yet. It's inside of the Epcot.
They actually changed the Epcot to look like a giant basketball for this.
Well, wow. They were working on Spaceship Earth. Is that what they were turning it into? It's now a 360-degree sphere-ized basketball court. That actually sounds pretty fun.
Put the NBA inside Epcot, and that's Walt Disney's dream. Just a race of genetically pure supermen forming a new society in a world hermetically sealed.
I think it's time to unfreeze them.
They
slaughtered every cow in Oklahoma to get enough leather to cover the Epcot Center. I mean, sometimes you just have to do what needs to be done for the spectacle.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but should we talk about this minute?
I think before it leaves my brain, I think I've encapsulated like why I have mixed feelings about this movie. And the problem with it, and this isn't really just this movie, it's so many action movies involving characters like Ethan Hunt, is they always introduce this storyline that the hero wants to leave their action world and embrace a domestic life, right? And that's the whole emotional thrust of this movie, is we're supposed to care about that. But the problem with that is the audience, we don't want them to be married and be happy. So we're never going to totally buy into that. Because deep down, we want more ass-kicking from Ethan Hunt, right? Mm-hmm. That's why John Wick is so brilliant, because it starts with him having already kind of left that life, and the emotional like pull that gets him into it is someone kills his dog, and who can't get upset about that?
And his wife dies.
Yeah, but that happened a long time ago.
The Russian mobsters didn't kill his wife.
So it starts way later. And so you're far more emotionally invested in the John Wick character than I am in Ethan. Mm-hmm. Part of that might just be because, for the most part, I have trouble believing Tom Cruise has any actual emotions. That's me projecting like the real world into the movie, though.
Yeah, but
that's
later on, I feel like the broken Ethan is my better. That's why I love Fallout. Is because he's just broken and he does his job, because they go, this is what you're good at. You're good at, when life is on the line, you're the one who says one life is worth as much as a lot of lives, because you have no other personality traits.
He's
Batman.
That's what makes this movie kind of a bore, is because so much of it is us having to like deal humanize. With pretending. Yeah, humanizing.
JJ wants to humanize him. It's like, I'm going to be the one. Sorry. I need to talk in my JJ Abrams voice, which is John F. Kennedy.
And that's the problem with the new James Bond movies, exactly. Which is an even worse problem. Because I care even less about James Bond.
Well, don't worry. The next one, they'll take care of it. If they're going to do it like Her Majesty's Secret Service, they will take care of
it. They will take care of that real quick. Yeah.
She will also be blasted into oblivion.
I will say that what I think separates the next Mission Impossible movies into being better is just what Joe said, in that we don't have to waste time for the most part with, oh, Ethan just wants a girl to settle down or whatever. Like, you know that he's not going to hook up with what's the actress? Is it Rebecca Ferguson?
Ilsa Faust.
Yeah. So there was an article a while ago, I don't remember what it was, but it talked about how if you're a woman and you're in an action genre, probably like the most rewarding role you can have is being in a Tom Cruise movie now, because they never waste time on love interest stuff. Mm. Like, and you think about like the later Mission Impossible movies and Edge of Tomorrow, where it's totally platonic. I mean, there might be some sexual tension, but you don't have, you know, there's no like wine mom scene in like Fallout or something like that. No, like, you exactly.
No, you never see normals again. Like, this is the only movie with normals. I mean, even The Office, even think about it. I mean, it's not just J.J. Abrams is trying to inject him into normalcy. The Office has like office politics. I'm like, you're a spy agency. Jesus, I don't want to see this back. No, no, you're like the CIA. I want you to be covert as shit and like not ever show me this.
It's like, ooh, let's see all the bureaucratic paperwork involved with this job in real life.
No, I mean, they basically filled it with the best actors they could, and it's great.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's Fishburne's what I was going to say. And Billy Crudup, I've always thought, was a really good actor, and for some reason isn't in much stuff.
But Johnson.
You don't think he's a good actor? I think he's always been wasted. I think he could be good, but he's just rarely in anything good.
He got saddled with that Dharma lady, right?
In his blue dong.
And his giant.
Oh, that's right.
Blue dong.
His giant.
No, I am not a. I'm not a Crudup fan. I'm not a Crudup fan, but that is.
I like the name Crudup.
Do I think he's bad in this movie? No, I don't think he's bad in this movie. He's also not good. He just is.
He's also got nothing to do in this movie.
Yeah, he has nothing to do in this movie.
I'm like, are you the bad guy? I mean, you are, but are you? I'm come on. I'd rather you not be in the movie at all and get more Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, everyone always wants more Philip Seymour Hoffman, especially now. But.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we can talk about this minute. Okay, this minute.
Yeah.
20 minutes in. This is good. This minute is pretty easy. It starts with a boom. There is a grenade on the ground. It's about to blow up. And the scene ends with Ethan and Agent Ferris pinned down.
What's Maggie Q's name in here? Mole Woman? What's her code name?
Her name is Mole Man.
Groundhog?
Yeah, she goes all full on La Femme Nikita, John Woo in that shot where she jumps through that window right before the explosion.
Yeah, she pulls a Captain America and jumps through the window before the grenade goes off.
Can I ask a dumb question? What are they grabbing? Is this something like she's grabbing these laptops? That's not part of anything, is it?
Yeah, they mentioned it earlier to get information about the Philip Seymour Hoffman guy.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it is a MacGuffin. It is another little black box that is broken.
Just grab all the laptops you can is basically their mission.
With those cool cases. You guys ever seen one of those in real life? I never have.
Not on a laptop, no. I've seen them for like, you open them up and they have like cameras in them and equipment.
Those are like the OtterBox things that cost $400.
I've got one for my laptop, but that's because it travels with me when I do editing. So
it is like that? Like what she's got there? Little like briefcase.
It's a case like that. It's got like cushioning inside. I put my laptop in it and close it up.
So you could drop it off a building and it'd be okay?
Pretty much.
You could use it in a fight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll set my camera in one so that way, you know, the same thing. If I go in an airplane with them, then I know they're fine as long as somebody doesn't unlock them.
Okay. I think she might have been killed if this dead guy went to fart it or whatever he did before he released that grenade.
Does he make a noise?
Yeah, he does.
He was doing such a baller move anyway. Yeah.
Just one release before the sweet release.
Yeah, it was his little death.
Drops the grenade because she wouldn't have known.
Nope, he would have been a hero amongst henchmen. He would have gotten a statue.
What's funny is she couldn't just grab the laptop she had in her hands already and run out that window. She had to leave it there.
It got blown up.
Oh yeah, so she doesn't even get the laptops.
No. Well, she brings the carcass of it with her. Remember, because that's kind of the point of Benji is like, here's the carcass.
Oh,
of this.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay.
Well, she just needs to put it in the freezer.
Get some rice? Yeah, let's put this in the that's for water, ma'am, not for when it's exploded in the middle.
Not for when
there's a big hole in the middle.
Yeah, not for when a chunk has been removed from a missile or whatever.
Everyone knows that the good parts of a computer are on the outside edges, not the middle. There's nothing in the middle.
Joe and I have a bit that whenever someone complains about their phone, we always tell them to just soak it in water overnight. Just put it in water overnight.
Yeah.
And
that's a good bit.
Works every time. Works every time because they try it.
100% of the time. I was going to say, how many people have ruined their phones?
I don't know. A lot less people talk to me now, though.
Well, he said Ethan calls 90 seconds. So they're on the mad scramble to get out of there.
Calls an audible.
And 90 seconds. We're going to be on this show with you guys for 90 seconds. So let's see what happens at the end of 90 seconds, the helicopterman has showed up.
Oh, real time. Oh, I see what you're doing. Some high noon stuff here.
High noon stuff. Guess what? It doesn't work.
Oh, shoot.
The only thing that works is Luther in a couple of minutes is going to be like 5 seconds. Actually says T minus five, which is confusing because I thought he meant 5 minutes, but he meant 5 seconds. Doesn't matter.
Time zones, huh?
Time zones.
The Giacchino score is going nuts at this moment in the score.
I actually love this scene.
I love the scene too. The score is really great at this moment, but it's also very early Giacchino, so it's like Lost. It's very much the Lost soundtrack, which I have no problem with, but I would have liked a little bit more Mission Impossible in it. But eventually it becomes that, you know.
Yeah. So. Especially as we won't get it this week, we'll get it next week. The beautiful ballet of double guns and, you know.
Yes.
And intertwine arms.
We're not going to the John Woo section of this film.
Yeah, we don't really get that here.
No. A little bit. We get his like tuck and roll.
There's some slow mo.
Yeah, we'll get that in the next minutes. Yeah,
we get that solo shot with the gun in the air.
Yeah, that solo shot.
Yeah.
So I like the music. I don't like how this has the like Michael Bay color palette.
Oh yeah, no,
no.
Don't get Rob started on shooting at night. He's so mad.
It's also got the Michael Bay, the Rock editing thing where he didn't know that, you know, when you're shooting a movie on for the screen versus TV, he's cutting for close-ups for the widescreen, and it's just making everybody sick.
It's very, like, it feels like Bad Boys.
Somebody tell JJ they put the map bars on the film while he's editing it on a video screen. Because it's just way too close, you know?
I still stand by this is better if it happened during the day. Mission Impossible.
You know why? Because you know why this shot is good is when they go into that well lit room. It's when he and Ferris get in there.
It probably was shot during the day and they just put filters on.
Well, I know. I mean, like, but
it's supposed to be at night. Like we were talking about how many other movies of MI have a night scene. Almost none. They're all day scenes.
Rob wants all his action movies to be midsummer.
Well, there's more thetans out at night, so that's why he doesn't really want to shoot then.
Thetan Eatons.
Eating thetans.
That's what it is.
Cheating thetans. Oh, and now we know why Eddie Marsden broke his nose. Our other henchman, he was under a pile of rubble, broke his nose. He scrambles and runs out. Now there, Ethan Ferris is like, "You have to turn off your microphone. I have to tell you something." Is she about to tell him? Does she know that Blue Dong is the bad guy? Is that what she's getting ready to say?
I think so. That's what I assume.
That's my guess, yeah.
Probably.
I think it's Carrie Russell. She wants to tell Ethan that she's in love with me. That's Carrie Russell's finally trying to find that opportunity because she knows I would die for her. Carrie, if you're listening.
Also, her name is Felicity. Let's just call her.
Yeah. Agent Felicity.
I will say that I enjoy, especially in this movie, the relationship and like chemistry between Tom Cruise and Carrie Russell way more.
Because it's not sexual.
But it hints at it a little bit.
I mean, I
it's his little sister.
To me, it comes off more like his girlfriend or his tryst at some point, and that's why he's coming after her. I don't see it as little sister myself.
But. Not at this point. Joe, have you ever been with a girl and she asks you to turn off your transmitter?
I have jokes and I refuse to say them.
Okay.
Joe is under a gag order from the Milwaukee Police Department. He's not allowed to talk about all the stings that he's worked on.
It's part of the settlement agreement. We could talk about it off air if you wanted to.
After you turn off your transmitter.
Yeah.
I've forgotten already. Who is holding Felicity captive? Who are these people?
Jägermeister people.
Just generic baddies.
This is actually a real sex doll warehouse.
The creepy guy that implants Ethan with the brain thing later was there.
Yes. Yeah, he's the one who breaks his nose.
She's already got a brain thing. Remember, she got the adrenaline in her chest. He's like, I have a, this is adrenaline, and this is going to hurt.
So
I got the impression that, is he like Philip Seymour Hoffman's like right-hand man?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to make an admission. I only got to rewatch
an Omission first, Impossible.
An Omission Impossible. I saw this in the theater and then watched the first half hour again today, but I don't remember what happens after the first half hour.
That's so okay.
This is about as far as I've gotten. I intend to finish it later. Looks like a good time.
Why don't you just start watching it now and make comments as you go through it?
Okay.
We'll keep recording that minutes and you just keep going. The way this is running right now, you should be able to finish the movie
easily
in this recording.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good place we can explain to Joe that we now go to a thing called Tech of the App. Tech of the App is kind of like Wreck of the Week, but with tech. And
brought to us by Sam Kinison.
No. This is brought to us by, I'm trying to think what. Warzone.
If Sam Kinison did bring it, is one of our
people now.
If Sam Kinison did bring us Tech of the App, Joe, how would it sound?
Yeah, what's Tech of the App sound?
All my dogs will start barking if I yell.
Windows will shatter.
Cars will have the tires explode as they have the sound too loud.
It's like when Roger Rabbit has alcohol; just everything explodes.
Boiling over.
All right, well, I'll let you get to the Tech of the App.
All of Joe's dogs are now barking.
One is glaring at me right now.
What's going on?
Was that Rob? Did I just hear Rob?
Is it Tech of the App?
Is it Thursday already? All right, well, we're in Tech of the App now. Can you feel it?
Mm. Somewhere a cocaine addict wrecked a car in tribute to the start of this one.
Well, only if that cocaine addict is doing errands. I learned this week, here's what I learned from some feedback from our listener. He said,
our listener.
Our one listener.
So Rob?
He said, I'm all cut up, you dick, and I'm mad because when I run errands, your show is the perfect length. Ooh. And I said, go listen to Cast and the Furious. He goes, no, it's too long.
It is too long. It's too long.
What do you mean? Shut up. It's not too long. It's not too long.
It's pretty long, man.
Shut up. It's the whole thing. You're about to go on a trip and you're going to listen to it. Shut up. This is perfect.
Where are you going? To Bermuda?
No, he's going to Rob's house.
Bahama.
Dan is going to France.
I mean, anywhere. You know, it's gonna be.
You're gonna take a raft down the Mississippi, like Huck Finn. It's the perfect length.
Yep. Is that allowed anymore? Can we even talk about that whole part of the story?
Grimes tried to do it.
Oh, good. So that worked out well. Oh, fucking Grimes! Don't get me started on that woman.
Okay.
I read the article about her. That was when she changed her name to yet another stupid thing and tried to go down the Mississippi.
Her music isn't very good, and they named their baby a stupid name. But the baby will be rich, so it's okay.
It's okay.
Story of America.
All right, in Tech of the App, Joe, it's a very easy premise. You pick the best technology that you saw in the episode, and that's it. That's it. There's no winners, no losers. Let's let Chris start because he can explain how it works. And he literally picks something from the episode. We talk about it.
Depends on what it is, though. Sometimes it's not really technical. It's something random.
Yep.
But I'm going to go with Maggie Q's jump through that window.
Is that that's technique. Tech. It's the technique of the app.
Technique of the app, yeah.
Tech with an E at the end.
Yep.
She pulls a full-on Van Damme in that moment, you know, just right through the window like hard.
It'd have been better if she'd done a split as she went out, but
exactly. You know, or slid with guns, you know.
There's glass on the ground. I don't think she should be sliding.
Hey, if it was a John Woo movie, she would be.
Would be.
And I agree. There'd be doves flying out of the flames, you know. Be awesome.
What about you, Rob?
I might also go with a technique of the week, and that's Ethan's roll and rise up and fire move with his pistol or his gun or whatever he's firing.
Yeah, he's firing he's got a little LMG, right? That we're going with?
I don't know what he hit. No, that's an SMG. That's his MP5.
Okay.
He's got still.
Okay. He didn't switch it up for a handgun because he does have a handgun in the next minute. So
yeah.
All right. What about you, Duff?
I went with windmills. They're very, there's that wind farm we see outside. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with Not Billy flying the helicopter.
They're probably spinning so much because that dude's fart.
I'm
surprised Billy's not wearing some sort of mask because he's going to get cancer.
Oh, yeah. Windmills, bad for you.
Yeah, people have meltdowns about it, don't they? Like, there's near where my wife's like parents live. We drive by a windmill. You didn't say it
correctly, by the way. My wife.
My wife. They have windmills, and apparently the people around there are very upset about the windmills.
Are they also the same people that won't wear a mask because it infringes on their rights? The windmill gives me cancer. Don't cover my face. I should be able to sneeze on whoever I want.
But it's not in a like conspiracy mad type of way. It's in a like, I don't want to have to look at windmills type of way. Like,
yeah, that's a good reason to hate them. I hate things that spin in front of my eyes.
Well, I think there's something where like the spinning, seeing something spin all the time makes you get dizzy or have headaches or something. I don't know, man. I don't believe it.
That's, we can swear on this show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
I've been staring at meat spin for the last 35 minutes and I feel fine. So I don't.
Here's my thing about all these dumbasses who complain about windmills. Like, oh, they rob the area of its individuality. It's like, you know what looks dumb? Phone poles. Yeah, they're everywhere.
You know what's cool? Poles. Windmills.
They probably literally live in a subdivision too. Like, yeah, everything looks.
To be fair, it's not like a rural area.
Her parents.
But like, yeah, most people who complain about windmills are living in like a beige subdivision out in a cul-de-sac or something. Yeah. Like, oh, it doesn't look good. It's like, oh, you're into aesthetics now.
And so the in-laws don't come after me. It's on the way to their place, not them, just to be clear. All right, I'm okay now.
Are they friends of the pod?
So you think that Kerry Russell and your in-laws are listening to this show?
Well, I think there's a better chance Kerry Russell's listening to the show, for being totally honest.
Kerry, we love you. Can't wait to have you on.
She actually has my technique of the week, I guess. Yeah. That one-handed catch of the gun.
That's not yet.
That's not yet. Week.
Oh.
It's tech of the app.
App. There is a tech of the week. That's later. And see, you're thinking wreck of the week. So you got confused when Rob yelled wreck of the tech of the week.
Oh, did I yell week?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
I totally misread your email then.
My email?
I thought it was 19 to 21. Okay.
It
is. Whatever. I'm never mind. I'll just keep going.
Fine. Let's go with it.
All right. Well, hey, you'll do better next time. They've got two more chances. Don't worry about it, man.
I see what I did. Okay.
I see what I did. I watched the wrong minute. no problem. Don't worry about it. The 19 for me, it's the last, saying goodbye to Luther's balls, his red balls.
His red balls. Yeah, his Logitechs.
It's the last time we're going to see those sweet red balls. And I'm going to miss him. He killed a lot of people with them balls. So see you, red balls.
A lot of manual spinning to get.
I know that was the thing we talked about last time. I'm like, does he have to act? Is he scrolling, or does this thing have some sort of aim assist that, like, kind of as you scroll by a human, it's like, okay, yeah, I should probably shoot this person. That's what we were wondering last week, because that was the week of the guns going off. But we'll never know. So yeah, that's the end of this episode. We'll come back tomorrow for yet another one. Oh, God damn it! Did I say tomorrow?
Nope, not tomorrow.
Well, until then, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
I've been Rob.
That was Duff.
My name is Joe.
Hi, Duff. You want to say this minute will self-destruct?
This minute will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
Episode of MI3.
bum 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 bum